Let us pray. Father, thank you for the Bible, and may your word this morning as we look at it, may you challenge us and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, everybody. And you might like to turn back to our reading on page 1046. The reading was from Luke's Gospel, and this morning we're going to look in particular at two different people, the crippled woman and then the synagogue ruler, and we'll see how their reactions to Jesus were very different from each other. But first, let's consider the crippled woman. And I wonder, have you ever suffered with ongoing pain? I remember my great aunt when I was young, and her fingers were bent over and gnarled with arthritis, and they were very, very painful hands for her. Chronic pain is painful and can be very discouraging as well. In our passage today, in Luke 13, there was a woman who was crippled, and she was bent over for 18 years. It was very debilitating and painful, and her illness was chronic and incurable. It would have interfered with her everyday tasks. It would have been difficult for her to walk very far or to carry water. Her social interaction with others was spoiled. She was always going to be looked down on, and she was unable to look directly into people's faces as she talked with them. But here in our passage, we see that on the Sabbath, she was attending the synagogue service. I wonder if we had been in her condition, would we have been there? We can sometimes be put off from going to services if we have a cold, or if it's a rainy day, or if it's a dark night. But this poor woman wasn't put off by her condition. There she was, small and bent over among the rest of the worshippers. But on this Sabbath, Jesus was there. And when Jesus is around, anything could happen. Luke tells us in verse 12 that Jesus saw her. He called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Jesus saw this woman among the congregation, and he calls her to come forward. She responds and comes to Jesus. Jesus speaks words of freedom to her. He puts his hands on her, and she straightens up for the first time in 18 years. We can imagine she would have stretched and put her shoulders back. She would have lifted her head and stretched her neck. And we can only imagine her delight. She was freed. Her pain was gone. Her life was restored. No wonder she was full of praise and gratitude. She praised God for his mercy and his power. Nothing is impossible for God. No situation is beyond his touch. His word has power, and there is nobody who is beyond his compassion. And in a way, this event illustrates Jesus's message. I'm sure we're all familiar when an election is called and the politicians print out their manifestos, and it's a list of their promises or what they're going to do when they get into power. Now, whether politicians actually get round to doing these things is another story. But Jesus always keeps his promises. At the very beginning of his earthly ministry, Jesus read out his manifesto from the book of Isaiah in Luke 4:18. And Jesus said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus is true to his word. He came to bring good news and to set people free, spiritually and in many cases physically as well. Jesus came to show us what Father God is like. Jesus came to pay the penalty for our sins by dying on the cross, so that we could know God's forgiveness, so that we could be free to live in relationship with him forever. Jesus came to set us free from what cripples and holds us captive. In the Mustard Seed over the summer, we have had a series where ordinary people from Donegal and the surrounding counties have come and they've shared their true stories with us. The first man was a drug addict. He was a young man and he got into the wrong company in school and that led him down a path. And he was eventually addicted to drugs and a mule, a drug mule. And an old school friend of his kept telling him about Jesus. And eventually, he responded to Jesus. He called out to Jesus, and he has been set free completely from the addiction to drugs. And he now follows Jesus with thankfulness and conviction. He knows for sure that Jesus sets people free today. And there was another lady who came another week. And this lady suffered and was severely crippled by depression from a very early age. And she told us that gradually, with the patient help of good Christian friends, she experienced the love and the comfort of Jesus. And now she is full of God's compassion and wisdom for others. And it's not just for adults that Jesus wants to set free. As David mentioned, the last in our series is from a teenager, and she's going to be telling her story of what Jesus has done in her life. So teenagers, you are more than welcome to come and listen to Tia on Saturday, and anyone else as well. But I don't know if this morning, in some way, if you can relate to the crippled woman in the passage. Maybe you've come to church this morning and you haven't yet personally experienced Jesus' word and his touch. Perhaps you feel crippled by an ongoing situation, or perhaps you feel bent over and burdened by worries. You may have ongoing pain in your body or in your relationships. Perhaps unforgiveness has got a hold of you and has crippled your heart and is stealing your peace. Well, if you can relate to the crippled woman, be encouraged. Jesus sees you too. He loves you and he wants to touch and speak to you if you will be like the crippled woman in the passage and respond to Jesus. Simply cry out to him. This is what we've seen all through the Saturdays. People crying out to Jesus. And Jesus will hear and respond. And he will lead you to discover him. Yesterday we heard from a young man not too far from Lahey. And he was saying how he was estranged from his family when he was young. And he was at the end of himself. He was at the point of despairing and he called out to God. A short time later, he went to church And he admitted the only reason he went to church was because his daughter was in a nativity play and he felt he should go and watch her. But gradually, he learned there about Jesus, and he came to know that Jesus loved him and offered him forgiveness. He told us that he has accepted Jesus as his Lord and his Saviour, and his life and his family's life has completely turned around. God is still compassionate and he is still powerful. And so many people around the world and down the centuries have called on the Lord and he has responded. So don't miss out. God has no favourites. He loves each one of us too. He calls each one, and he is something wonderful for each one as well. Now let's look at the second character in this passage, and it's the synagogue leader, whose response to Jesus was quite different. After Jesus performed the miracle, the synagogue ruler was annoyed. Actually, he was more than annoyed. He was irate. We would say that his nose had been seriously put out of joint. He was irritated and indignant. And in verse 14, we see why that was. It says, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. He was annoyed because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. The Sabbath to the Jews is a Saturday. It's like for Christians, our day of rest and worship is on a Sunday. So the synagogue ruler was saying that healing is work and work should not be done on the Sabbath, and therefore Jesus had broken the religious rules. The synagogue leader was so focused on the rules that compassion went out the window. The synagogue leader and some other leaders, they hated the way Jesus did things. That was the bottom line. They really did not like the way Jesus was doing things. But Jesus didn't mince his words. He's very straight talking. And in verse 15, he says, the Lord answered him, you hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? See, the ruler was being hypocritical because he would have actually been kind and been kind to an animal on the Sabbath by untying it and giving it water. But he refused to rejoice when a person was being set free from their bondage. For Jesus, the Sabbath was a day for mercy, compassion, and healing as well. And this has been echoed in our Old Testament reading in Isaiah, where generosity and a compassionate lifestyle please God. So what can we learn from this synagogue leader? Well, yes, we are to obey instructions to involve a day of rest and to have times for worship. But if we become so focused on a list of rules, traditions, and regulations without compassion, then there's something wrong. When I was thinking about it, it reminded me of Boxing Day sales. You know, on Boxing Day after Christmas, when there's lots of sales and there's bargains to be had. And sometimes on the television, you see a clip where people are so focused on getting the bargain that people are trampled and pushed when the doors open at the beginning of the sales. You see, we mustn't be so focused on do's and don'ts. Jesus must be central to our faith. And as situations arise in our everyday life, it may be helpful to just pause for a minute and consider, well, what would Jesus do in this situation? Secondly, we learn from the synagogue leader that God is not and will not be limited by our timetables. We read in Psalm 103, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and he abounds in love. And Jesus points out that every day, including the Sabbath, is a good day for people to be set free and restored. So to finish, we see that Jesus in this passage in Luke divided opinion. Some were annoyed and humiliated, while others were rejoicing and praising God. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is still intervening in people's lives today. He is bringing restoration and healing and freedom. Ordinary people, like you and me, are having our lives transformed by Jesus Christ. We are ordinary people with an extraordinary God. So as we hear of what and see what God is doing in other people's lives, let us rejoice in it and also call on him, respond to him for his powerful and compassionate touch in our own lives as well. Let us pray. Father, I praise you that you are compassionate, caring, powerful, alive. And I pray, Father, that you will encourage us when we hear and see what you are doing. And I pray, Father, that every time we cry to you, you will respond and meet with us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.